So, Gavin, where are we now?
We're out on Hob Moor, just outside the boundaries of Old York. It's appropriate, in my opinion, because Hob is an old Northern English Scottish word, which means either goblin or devil.
But then we come out here because you've got a theory, haven't you, about a medieval witch's Sabbat?
It's basically the idea that if these witches, orgies, meetings, rites actually took place, then perhaps the closest modern parallel would be a music festival.
So what kind of evidence have you got for this, then?
What's interesting about the descriptions we have are these meetings where there's orgiastic dancing, there are drugs, there's strange music, which the inquisitors and witch hunters describe as being both sweet and somehow sinister. And the idea, of course, is that, you know, if you read some of these descriptions, it sounds a lot like some of the accounts we get from Christian clergymen in the 1950s about what they thought was going on in rock and roll dance halls. It's the same idea of music being a vehicle for the unholy.
So we have an actual real-life, genuine musician with us, David, from the Young'uns Folk Band. Hello, David.
Hello. Real life at the moment, but I'm fearing for my life.
But you've got your accordion with you.
I have, yes, yes. It says hello.
You've got some accounts, haven't you, of witches' Sabbats?
Yes. Bear in mind that the archetype of witch we think of is a woman. In the medieval Sabbat, you have a combination. The only sort of defining factor is these are all rebels against the tyranny of the church. And so these are people all gathered to throw off all of the restraints of conventional society, which, again, is a bit like a festival. They typically dance back to back, so it might be in a big ring, all facing away from each other. One of the witch hunters suggests this is to make sure they can't identify each other, which does seem a particularly silly piece of reasoning. It's more likely because this goes against the way in which people conventionally dance.
I have danced back-to-back in a nightclub before where I sort of rubbed my bottom against a lady's bottom once.
There are certain levels of unholiness I'm sure we can't talk about even after midnight.
So, Gavin, what can we expect to happen here?
The idea is to evoke the devil. And if he arrives, the polite thing to do is you must perform the osculum infame, the kiss of shame. So the devil will turn his back to you and he will bend over and proffer what is supposed to be the devil's best feature and you must kiss him there.
Goodness. So to evoke the spirit of the Witch's Sabbat through the power of music, I've got a song here that I wrote when I was 16 years old. It was my own attempt at occult rock. I was in a bit of a gothy band.
Right.
It's called Kill Your Dog for Satan.
Okay.
Are you up for singing it with me? David, could you offer some accompaniment?
It would be a dream come true, Danny. Here we go.
We could dance if we want, but it is quite cold and wet. So it goes like this.
Wake up, Rover, it's time to die. Look up into the darkened sky. You've been my pet for many fun years. Now I've got a task that'll cause you tears. Your days of warmth and security are through, cause I've got another use for you. I'm afraid it's not quite as nice. You're gonna be a blood sacrifice. Kill your dog for Satan.
Amazingly, my teenage occult rock song fails to summon the Goat of Mendes, though it does scare a passing cyclist. Thankfully, David saves the day by singing a folk song that's actually about a witch.
And she said, now ride with your faithful hounds at heel and your good grey hawk in hand. There's none can harm the knight who's lain with the witch of the Westmoreland.
You've been listening to Desperately Seeking Satan, a Six Music special with me, Danny Robbins.